May the Lord help us to commence our worship today with hymn number 527. 527. What a divine harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. No music can with it compare. The soul that knows it lives. Hymn 527.
Oh, Let us read together from the sacred scriptures, the Word of God, reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 12. The Gospel according to John, reading chapter 12. John chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was a Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we come before him in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, Thou great, sovereign, eternal God, we are found gathered together here on this, the Lord's Day, the one day set apart from others, the day of rest, and we rest from our daily labours. And we come to worship thee in this public way, to gather together in thy name, and oh, to seek thy gracious presence here. And Lord, do come by thy Spirit, and come by thy word. And we pray for that power that is known and felt. Oh, that power of God. That power to prepare our hearts. Yea, that power to soften our hearts. That power to take away the heart of stone. That power to grant that heart of flesh. Oh, that power of thy Holy Spirit to take of thine the word of God, and within with divine power to apply that word into our hearts. Oh Lord, we long for that power, that efficacious power, to have such an effect. Lord, should there be found those here yet dead in trespasses and in sins, oh, may that power be known, that souls shall be born again, quickened from above, called by thy almighty, irresistible grace. Lord, that power to convict of sin, or that power to humble under thy mighty hand, that power to show them themselves, that power to make known their never-dying souls, or that power to bring them into concern, that power that they might begin to be in want. Oh Lord, that power to arrest a man, to call by grace. Oh, that power, Lord. And to those in whom that work of grace has begun, oh, that power to deepen. Oh, that power to bring them, sir, we would see Jesus. Or that power to make known to them that one thing is needful, that Jesus is the one thing needful, or that power to drive them out of every false refuge, or that power to make known to them their need of a precious Jesus, that power to believe in him, or to the saving of their never dying souls, that power of divine life. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Lord, who grant that power in the hearts of many here this day, and of that spirit of prayer, the power of prayer. May there be found some wrestling souls, some praying Jacobs, who shall prove to be prevailing Israels. Oh, that power of prayer. Thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and hast prevailed. Oh, prevailing prayer. Lord, make that power known. And again, Lord, from thy holy word, make it that living word. Oh, the power. Lord, oh, send forth thy word this day in divine power, unction, authority. Lord, as we read of the rain and snow coming down from heaven to water the earth, that it may bring forth and bud, to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that to which I do please, and prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Is that power? O Lord, thou hast promised, I will work, and who shall let it? Oh, that same power. And Lord, hast thou not ordained the preaching of the gospel? Ah, the foolishness of preaching, but the power of God. And Lord, do bless thy word here. Oh, do make it powerful in the hearts and lives of many. Oh, might this be a time never to be forgotten, when God works. Lord, it's what we long for. It is what we need in this day in which we live. This day of small things, this day of such a withholding of that power. Oh, Lord, do return, we beseech thee, with mercies unto Zion. Lord, how often in Scripture thy Spirit is referred to as the wind that bloweth. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon this garden, that the spices thereof may flow out, and let my beloved come into his garden, and take of his pleasant fruits. But Lord, as we see it in nature, there are days when there seems to be no wind at all, and all is calm and quiet. Days also of a gentle breeze, when there is that which is felt. But also days when the wind is strong, a gale, the power. Lord, we need that gale of grace. We need thy spirit to blow upon this garden. Oh, we need thy spirit, Lord, to apply thy word with that divine power and send it forth into the hearts of many, that fruit may be brought forth in due season to thy honour, to thy glory. Now, Lord, remember each one gathered here. We pray for those who may be listening in, from the youngest, the little ones, the children, the young people, growing up into life. Remember the families, remember the parents, remember those in the midst of life. Oh, remember those, Lord, in more senior years, in old age. Remember those who have infirmities and afflictions. Remember those who are poorly and laid aside and unable to come to the sanctuary this morning. Lord, remember those who have conditions and diseases and ailments undergoing treatment. Lord, remember, Lord, those in particular need at this time, any in a day of trouble, any in deep distress, any who are cast down, who walk a lonely, solitary pathway, those who are tempted of the devil, those who are feeling to be so tried, those on the borders of despair, those walking in darkness. Oh, dear souls who need the Lord to appear, so we would see Jesus, who have come in hope. Oh, it may be that they've come against hope, believing in hope, to hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who would hope in thy word, who would hope in thy mercy, who would hope that deliverance is near, who would hope that the Lord will perform, the Lord will provide. Hope thou in God. So Lord, do bless each soul. Oh, supply every need. Attend to every case. May there be a portion for 7 and also for 8. Lord, may none leave this day feeling disappointed, feeling that there was nothing. O Lord, who come and prosper thy word. May we prove that thy Holy Spirit has been at work here. Lord, be very gracious. We're a company of sinners. But O Lord, thou didst come to seek and save that which was lost, the friend of publicans and sinners. O Lord Jesus, do come and glorify thy name here, and do poor sinners good, and work mightily in the midst. Pull down those strongholds of Satan, that same power, and set up thy kingdom in the hearts of many, that thy name may truly be glorified. So, Lord, we look to thee. Send help. Forgive our every sin. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 697. 697. O thou lovely, loving Saviour, bless us with a solemn frame. Teach us now, henceforth, and ever, to adore thy matchless name. Give us, blessed Jesus, give us a sweet glimpse of thy sweet face. From all carking care relieve us, fill us with thy boundless grace. Hymn 697.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct our prayerful attention to the Gospel according to John, in chapter 12, and verse 32. John chapter 12, the 32nd verse. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. The Gospel according to John, chapter 12, and verse 32. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. These being the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. And never man spake like this man, the eternal Son of God, the Lord from heaven, he who came to save his people from their sins, the Saviour, the Almighty, merciful, gracious Saviour. These are his words. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. It seemed to follow that time when these certain Greeks came up to the feast at Jerusalem to worship. And they had that desire, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I personally believe that these were taught of God. Their desire was a real desire. We would see Jesus, not out of mere curiosity, not out of interest, not because we heard that he raised Lazarus from the dead, but we would see Jesus that we might know him, that we also might believe him, that we might be found in him. Because I believe this is the desire of every living soul, every heaven-taught soul, we would see Jesus. Of course, the Lord Jesus now is at the right hand of the Father in heaven above. We do not see him in the flesh, as these Greeks, as these disciples, as those around in the times of the Lord Jesus saw him. But now we see him by faith. It's that sight by faith of the Lord Jesus. And seeing him as our Lord and our Saviour. Oh, we would see Jesus. And I do hope and trust that there are among you here this day those who have come with this same desire. You have that need. You have that burden. You have that longing. We would see Jesus. Object of my first desire. We would see Jesus. We reject that social gospel wherein men come to see men for social reasons, to please the flesh, to be entertained. Or may the preaching be Jesus only. May the desire of each one be we would see Jesus only, to behold by faith the Lord Jesus. Oh, it's not the man in a pulpit, it's not any other, but we would see Jesus by that eye of faith, that faith might be granted, that we might behold personally, savingly, a precious Jesus. And so that desire set forth in the hymn, this my incessant cry shall be, Jesus, reveal thyself to me, to my soul. Oh, to me, a poor, guilty, needy sinner. Jesus, reveal thyself from me, to me, so we would see Jesus. And Jesus answered them, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And he speaks how the Son of Man should be glorified. So often in the ministry and the teaching of the Lord Jesus, he takes natural things, everyday things in which a people would understand. Not complicated things, not difficult things, but very simple things. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So you take a seed of any sort, and all the while it abideth alone, if you will, in the seed packet, nothing will come of it. It will abide alone. But you take that seed, you plant it into the ground, a seed in and of itself, it will die, but it will bring forth much fruit. Or from that seed being germinated, will come forth in due season, with God's blessing, much fruit. And so the Lord Jesus here teaches, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. It becomes every professing Christian. If any man serve me. If we do not serve the Lord Jesus, and we do not serve God, who are we serving? And no man can serve two masters. If we do not serve God, we're serving flesh. Really, we're serving the devil, the prince of the power of this world, that worketh in the children of disobedience. But if any man serve me, let him follow me. By faith, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled. Oh, to see the Lord Jesus, his soul troubled. Father, save me from this hour. No. But for this cause came I unto this hour, to lay down my life, to save my people from their sins, by standing in their room, place and stead, or to bear the punishment instead, to have their sins taken upon me. but for this cause came I unto this hour, to put away sin, to put away sin. The Lord Jesus, who never ever sinned, or how he would suffer for the sins of his people. But for this cause came I unto this hour. He who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, came to save his people from all of their sins. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. In everything the Lord Jesus thought, said, and did, he glorified his Father. Father, glorify thy name. He came to glorify God in the salvation of every one of the Lord's chosen people. Father, glorify thy name. The Lord Jesus ever had that single eye to his Father's honour and glory. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. You remember when the Lord Jesus was baptized in Jordan by John Baptist. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That voice came from heaven. And then also on the Mount of Transfiguration, that voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And now here at Jerusalem, the voice which many said thundered, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Jesus said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. There is that line of a hymn often sung at Christmas time concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus at Bethlehem, and how both the devils and the angels looked on, neither fully understanding why Christ became a real man, a little tiny newborn baby born at Bethlehem. The devils did not understand, but the Lord Jesus came. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And yet it was Satan, the prince of this world, stirring up first Herod, and then many others, and the Pharisees here. They had that one desire, didn't they, to kill him, to murder him, to get rid of him. That is what they sought to do. Their hatred, their enmity, their anger, their fury against this man, Jesus of Nazareth. They sought to slay him. Even where he was brought up at Nazareth, they took him out of the city upon that cliff there to cast him over, to destroy him. But his hour had not yet come. They even at times took up stones to stone him to death. But again, he escaped out of their hands. It was not his time. You see, the Lord Jesus must lay down his life. Yes, he would be taken by wicked hands. He would be nailed upon that cross at Calvary. Or he would suffer such an ignominious death. But he laid down his life because he had power to lay down his life. He had power to take it again. that power of God. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. The death of death in the death of Christ. Or when Jesus died to put away the sins of his people and he rose again for their justification. In that sense, the prince of this world was cast out. Oh, the Lord Jesus conquered. The prince of this world who brought sin into this world to destroy God's fair creation. And now the Lord Jesus casts him out and destroys all his devilish works. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And I, the eternal Son of God, and I, the Lord from heaven, and I, the Saviour of sinners, if I be lifted up from the earth. This he said, signifying what death he should die. And it has reference here to that the Lord Jesus spoke of as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, very briefly, why did Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness? We read of it in Numbers 21, I believe. It was concerning the children of Israel, and because they had sinned against God, they had rebelled. They were speaking against Moses and against God. And so doing, they were sinning against God. And God sent those serpents which had such a fiery bite, a poison, that everyone who was bitten by one of those serpents had the sentence of death. There was no cure. There was no hope. There was no remedy. It must have been a terrifying thing to see that serpent and all for it to bite, knowing that you must die, that there nothing can be done. Nothing can be done. Well, the people were brought to repentance. They were taught to see how they had sinned against God and their sin had found them out. And now they tremble before God. You see, really two things they couldn't do. They couldn't find any effectual cure for that poison in the bite. Neither could they get rid of those serpents. Oh, in this they were helpless, utterly helpless. But they turned to God. And they turned to God broken, contrite, repentant, seeking his mercy. And they knew they didn't deserve it. They had sinned against him. But all that great need for God to be merciful unto them and to take those serpents away. Well, in one way of looking at it, we do not read that God took away those serpents from that place at that time. But what we do read is how God commanded Moses to make that brazen serpent and to set it up high upon a pole and then to proclaim throughout the camp of the children of Israel to those especially who were bitten that they by faith might look toward that brazen serpent and they would live. And it came to pass that everyone that was bitten, who by faith looked to the brazen serpent, and let us be very clear, it wasn't brazen serpent in and of itself. In Jeremiah's day, it had become an idol and would be cast out, destroyed. It wasn't that in and of itself. It was a type, of course, of the Lord Jesus. It was a word of God. It was a promise of God. That who whosoever had been bitten and looked unto that brazen serpent, they would live. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And truly the Lord Jesus was lifted up upon the cross at Calvary, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How the hymn writer penned, though all are sinners in God's sight, there are but few so in their own. And that few so are those who are truly convicted of their sins, brought to know that they have sinned against God, and brought to know that they cannot save themselves, and no man also can save them. There is no natural cure, no natural remedy. Oh, how they may strive to please God, strive to keep the law of God, strive to cease from sin, and yet they will constantly fail, proving that sin is mixed in all that we think, in all that we say, in all that we do. And what a painful lesson to learn, but how the Lord will teach his people they cannot cease from sin. But then, by the blessed Spirit, these sin-bitten souls, oh, who feel that sentence of death, who feel that guilt of sin, who are brought to true repentance, with a broken heart, a contrite spirit, and turn from their evil ways, but turn to the Lord seeking his mercy. Oh, how the Holy Spirit leads them to Christ, to Calvary. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I just want to very briefly mention this little word, all. Sometimes in Scripture it means literally all. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. And that literally means all. And again, we have that word often in Scripture concerning the word of God, and it all came to pass. And all the word of God will come to pass. Nothing shall fail, nothing shall come short. It will all come to pass. But again, sometimes in Scripture we have this word all, and there's a different meaning, not meaning literally all men, all mankind, every single person throughout the whole world, because we know that all men are not drawn to the Lord Jesus. Indeed, the majority reject him, despise him. So what does this little word all mean? Well, the Jewish nation knew that they were the children of Israel, God's favoured nation, whom he had chosen through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the children of Israel. And they saw the Gentiles as those unbelievers, not part of them. The oracles, the word of God, was given to the Jews. And so the Gentiles are seen as outcasts, without. But here again, if you look carefully at the context of these certain Greeks, Gentiles, coming up to worship, and how the Lord Jesus speaks with all men here, it speaks of not Jews only, but Gentiles also. Gentiles also. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. I want to quote another text from the Lord Jesus in which he mentions this word all, and it literally means all, but then you'll see this text within its context. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me, of Jew and of Gentile, the people of God, the spiritual Israel, all, every single one given by the Father will come unto me. Now, why will they come unto me? Because all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and taught the truth of their own hearts, but also taught the truth as it is in Jesus, as the Saviour of sinners. All taught the word of God, those promises applied with that power. And as such, they will come. They will come because they will be drawn. And again, our text, it speaks of a power. And it's the power of God. And it's that power working the heart. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. But may it be our mercy to be found amongst these all men here, drawn to the Lord Jesus. We call it irresistible grace, effectual grace in the heart, wrought by the Holy Spirit, teaching that soul their need of the Lord Jesus to save them from their sins. And how the hymn writer also beautifully penned, all the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. And if you and I are truly taught our need of him, feel our need of him, then we will be drawn unto him. There's no two ways about it. Oh, every soul taught of God will be drawn to the Lord Jesus and drawn to Calvary. Drawn as a sinner to the Saviour. Oh, drawn as one needing the mercy of God, the pardon and forgiveness of sin. One needing salvation by grace, not by works. For we have no good works of our own to merit salvation, to merit God's esteem or favour. For sin is mixed in all that we think and say and do. We'll draw, oh, to be drawn to the Lord Jesus. Were not these Greeks drawn to him? Sir, we would see Jesus. No doubt there were many important people at Jerusalem at that time. There was the high priest. There were the scribes, there were the Pharisees. There were others also, no doubt men of note in positions. But these Greeks, sir, we would see Jesus, drawn to him, to behold him, or to see in him all their desire and all their salvation. The mind just seems to go to the wise men from the east. They were also drawn, weren't they? Led by the Spirit, led by that star. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Yes, they leant upon their own understanding. They went to Jerusalem. And yet Christ was born at Bethlehem, according to the Scriptures. And then, obeying the Scriptures, they go to Bethlehem, drawn to the Lord Jesus, and fell down and worshipped him. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. All these poor, serpent-bitten, dying sinners, in need of God's salvation, in need of God's mercy, in need of God's Christ, in need of precious, sin-atoning, meritorious blood that cleanseth from all sin, in need of that robe of righteousness to cover and to clothe. Oh, we would see Jesus lifted up from the earth upon the cross at Calvary, drawn unto his feet, drawn to his broken body, drawn to his wounded side, drawn to that fountain open for sin and uncleanness, drawn to that precious sin atoning blood, drawn under the shadow of his wings, drawn to his righteousness. Now, in being drawn to him, it's being drawn away from self. Oh, drawn away from all our efforts, all our own self-righteousness. Drawn away from any merits of our own. Drawn as poor, guilty sinners with nothing to pay, bankrupt souls. So drawn away from self and drawn away from this world. Oh, drawn away from all that is false. Drawn away from all that is erroneous. Drawn away to him who is the truth. To know that truth as it is in Jesus. If ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. There is no other. Like that brazen serpent in the wilderness, there was no other. Let man look where he will, let man do what he will, he will soon die. But one look by faith to that brazen serpent, and he would live. And I do believe, as it was then, so it is now. They needed faith. Faith to believe the word of God. And faith to look. And where there is that faith to believe the word of God, there will also be that faith to look. We do not know, but we wonder how many perished in their sins because they would not look, because they would not believe the word of God. They may have looked at themselves, they may have looked at that bite, they may have looked at the swelling, or they may have looked at the effect of it. Indeed, they may have looked at one another, they may have looked at their loved ones for compassion, for help, or they may have looked all around. Is there no physician? Is there no potion? Is there no medicine? Is there no bandage? Is there nothing? But they would not look to that brazen serpent. Oh, what a great mercy that the Lord will cause his people to look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none other Saviour. Oh, how it's the Holy Spirit teaching the soul their great need of the Lord Jesus Christ and drawing them unto himself. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. You think of that dear woman with the issue of blood. Well, she was also in great need. And for 12 years had suffered much. She'd been to many physicians, many doctors, surgeons. All had failed her. Not one could help her, not one could cure her. There may have been promises, but they never came to fruition. Oh, she was brought now to bankruptcy. She had nothing, nothing at all. But then, blessed be God, she hears of the Lord Jesus. She believes in him. The Holy Spirit put it into her heart that if I may but touch a hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And I feel sure that if she mentioned that to those around her, perhaps of her family or friends or those in the village or town, they would have laughed at her scorn. They would have ridiculed her. through their unbelief, through their hardness of heart, and through their rejection of the Lord Jesus. But because the Holy Spirit had put it into her heart, she believed. She was fully persuaded. And she was drawn to the Lord Jesus. Oh, how she was drawn in her felt need of him. We know from that time there was that great crowd around the Saviour, thronging him, pressing him. And it may have seemed nigh impossible for her to reach him. She knew she had to reach him to touch a hem of his garment. She knew she had to venture to come. And she dare not stay away. But now there seemed this great difficulty that she could never press through. But two things. Firstly, the Lord had given her faith. Now, this would be the trial of her faith and how it would try her. But where the Lord has given that faith, faith shall prevail. God-given faith surely shall prevail. You see it with Jacob, wrestling with the angel, how faith prevails. And out of weakness she must be made strong, and strong in faith. And that faith centred upon the Lord Jesus, the object of her faith. So she had to venture, poor, weak as she was, and yet made strong. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And secondly, that faith given, but now the Lord Jesus drawing her. So she must come. She must press through that crowd. Or she must touch him because the Lord Jesus is drawing her. And let us be clear, the Lord Jesus knew all about her. Although he said, "Who touched me?" He would have a manifest of what she had done in coming to him, in what he had done in healing her. Drawn by irresistible grace. And where our need of the Lord Jesus is real, where it is of God, where it is of faith, we also will be drawn to him. And yes, there may be the trial of our faith. Yes, there may be a great crowd around him to, if you will, prevent access, prevent us from reaching him, touching him. But where there's that God-given faith, that will prevail. And where the Lord is drawing, that soul will be drawn to him. I think of that prayer also in the Song of Solomon. Draw me, we will run after thee. Oh, to be drawn, but drawn to Jesus only. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. What a solemn thing it is not to be drawn. Oh, what a solemn thing it is not to have any real need of the Lord Jesus. To be satisfied with a mere profession. To be satisfied with dry doctrine and the letter of the truth. And never to be truly drawn to the Lord Jesus. See, the Lord will draw his people unto him in prayer. God, be merciful to me, the sinner, is one drawn to the Saviour. Oh, one confessing their sins is drawn unto Christ, the Saviour of sinners. Oh, one who's taught their need of God's great mercy, his wonderful grace, one taught their need of the Lord Jesus will be drawn to him, oh, seeking to know him, to be found in him, drawn under the shadow of his wings. And then also secondly, to drawn to the word of God. Oh, at one time perhaps the Bible meant little. There was an interest in the accounts, an interest in various things in the scripture. But blessed be God when that time comes when we're drawn to his word and drawn as a hungry, thirsty, needy soul. Drawn to the scriptures, we would see Jesus, to behold there a precious Jesus, the friend of publicans and sinners. Drawn to hear his voice. My sheep, hear my voice. Lord, speak to me. Oh, speak to me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Again, drawn to him for that revelation by faith, to behold the Lord Jesus lifted up from the earth, drawn to Calvary, drawn there to see the suffering Saviour, the sins of all his people laid upon him, but drawn to see our sins laid upon him. Drawn to him to see the names of all God's elect engraved upon his heart, and drawn closer to see our name engraven upon his heart. Oh, drawn to the dear Lord Jesus. Yes, drawn to his precious blood, to shelter under the blood. We have it by type on that Passover night. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. But drawn, oh, for that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon. As we had in that hymn, plunge me in that crimson ocean, thy atonement made for sin. Oh, drawn to the dear Lord Jesus, drawn into his arms. Oh, what a precious word that is in chapter 10. Following my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What a wonderful thing to be drawn into the hands of the Lord Jesus, drawn under his loving, watchful care, drawn to know him, my Lord, my God, my Saviour. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And the gathering of the people shall be unto me. Oh, no doubt when the shepherd calls his sheep, they're drawn to him and not to another. And here is a particular mark of the child of God in being drawn unto Christ to follow him. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Thy will, not mine. Drawn to follow him whithersoever he goeth. Drawn to deny self and take up the cross. Drawn to trust in him at all times. Drawn to commit all unto him. And drawn to wait only upon God. Will draw all men unto me. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I do believe as the Lord deepens that work of grace in the hearts of his people, more and more they will be drawn unto him. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Oh, drawn to him as a Saviour, the Redeemer. Drawn to him as a Good Shepherd. Drawn to him as a Helper, the Counsellor. Oh, drawn to him as a dear precious friend. Drawn to him in one who can be trusted at all times, confided in, all drawn to him. And as we may feel more and more of a plague of our own hearts and the wickedness and deceitfulness, oh, to prove how we must never trust in our own hearts, drawn away from self and this vain world, but drawn more and more unto the Lord Jesus, the Lord preparing his people for glory, the Lord weaning his people from this world and the vanities of this world and all that this world has to offer, drawn away, but drawn to a precious Jesus. Sometimes here are those dying, coming to the end of their lives. Though they may have family, friends around them, they may have so much, as it were, in this world, goods and possessions, they don't want anything. They just want to be taken to glory. They just want to be taken to be with Christ, which is far better. They've done with this world, or they long to depart. They're so drawn to heaven, to where Christ is, to that holy, happy place where sin no more defiles, and there to be with him forever and ever. Oh, may it be so with each one. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. With them numbered, oh, may I be now and in eternity.
God willing, Sunday school will be at Bethany this afternoon, but I shall not be able to take my class as I haven't been very well in the night. The collections today are for the Trinitarian Bible Society local auxiliary. Mr. Timothy Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and on Friday evening the church members will meet for prayer at 8 o'clock. And Mr. Bernard Burgess will, God willing, preach to us next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with part of hymn number 827. 827. This is a hymn that is often sung at the Lord's Supper. We'll omit verse 2. Suffering Saviour, Lamb of God, how hast thou been used with the Almighty's wrathful rod, soul and body bruised. Hymn 827, omitting verse 2.
And now, may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.